He's going to be speaking on teaching on the Psalms. So that'll happen for a number of weeks here. Looking forward to this, brother. I'll turn it over unto you. Do you have a...
are you good here? By this year, I should be all right.
Okay. All right. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Amen. You can hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, good. If you have your Bibles, open them to Psalm number 1. I was joking with the pastor. I don't know how much time he's going to give me, how many weeks I'm going to have. But I told him if we did a psalm a week, I could get through it in about 3 years. So, but I don't think he's going to give me that much time. Psalm number 1. It is really good. You know, God answers prayer, doesn't he? And I was joking with Wes and Danielle, answer to prayer. Ethan's been coming a little bit, and I've been talking with him. I said, got to get your parents back here. He said, I'm working on it. Well, it's good to see you. So glad that you're here. Of course, glad to see everybody. Glad that all of you are here this morning. And I'm praying. I pray, you know, certainly for myself and for pastors and other teachers today. But I pray the word of God will go forth in the way that God intends. I pray that God's anointing will be upon the preaching of his word today, and that God will get the praise and the glory. I'm going to read Psalm number 1. You're probably very familiar with it, and then we're going to share some thoughts about it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, may you bless the reading of your word. I pray you'd bless the preaching. I pray, God, that the Spirit will lead, and that anything that I say will be accurate and will be right. And Lord, touch our hearts, and may you get the praise and glory, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we know that we see a contrast between those that are godly and those that are ungodly. And, you know, all through the Bible, we see that. We see the character of people. Some are godly, some are ungodly. And God makes those distinctions all through the Word of God about those that I preached not long ago about the character or the characteristics of the men of God that God calls. And of course, all of them were primarily men of faith, and they believed God. And a godly man or woman is one that is one of faith, that believes in the Lord. As we read this psalm, it talks about blessed is the man, and it's based on his conduct. The blessings are based on his conduct. And someone might get the wrong idea and say, well, our blessings then, or our salvation, is based on how we work. And we know that that's absolutely not true. We're saved by grace through faith. But real quick, I want you to turn to Psalm number 32, and I want to read two verses, and kind of, this will help us to understand Psalm number 1. In Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. And so when we begin to look at this, and I want to give you some examples from the Bible, that we're not saved by works, we know that. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But without the blessing of Psalm 32, you can't have the man of Psalm number 1. It is because he has been forgiven, because he has been saved, because God has imputed into him righteousness. We're new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only because of what God has done in our lives that we can walk the way that God wants us to walk. In the first verse, we see the walk of a godly man. We see the outward appearance of what a godly man is. And in verse 2, we see the convictions of a godly man, what causes him to walk the way that he walks. And in verse number 3, we see the continual blessings of God upon the life of that one that is chosen to walk with God. I want to give you a few pictures of some people in the Bible when we begin to think about works. You know, Nehemiah, as you know, Nehemiah was a man of faith and what he did for God. And I didn't write down the scripture, but he had said on several occasions, God, and I'm paraphrasing, but God, look at me and my uprightness. Look at what I'm doing, and look how I'm serving you and how good I'm living. And so we see that throughout the Old Testament. But the way that they live and the things that they did because they believed God. Right. Nehemiah was there because he believed God put him there. And, you know, there should be that kind of evidence with us. If we're walking with God, we don't boast of our own uprightness or our own righteousness, because we know our righteousness is of Christ. But yet, I know I mentioned not long ago, I think I was talking with Pastor and some of the men in prayer, God expects us to walk uprightly. He wants us to walk right. He wants us to do right. He wants us to think right. He wants us to be right. He wants us to glorify him. And I want you to think of a few people in the Old Testament. It says that Enoch walked with God, and he had this testimony that he pleased God. And that's, you know, we find that in the faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. It says Enoch walked with God and he pleased God. Why? Because he had faith in God. You know, Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? We know that Noah walked with God. Let me see if I have the scripture on Noah. Maybe I didn't write it down. But anyway, we know that Noah was one, it says in the book of Hebrews, that moved with fear. When God spoke to him, he was moved with fear and he built an ark in obedience to God, to the saving of his house. And, you know, he was a man of faith. Can you imagine Noah out there in the middle of the desert building a big boat? Can you imagine the ridicule? Can you imagine what it says? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It doesn't tell us all the messages that he may have preached, but I'm sure there were people who were saying, Noah, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. Well, why are you building a boat? Well, God's going to flood this world. He's going to destroy it. Why, this guy's crazy. Can you imagine what a testimony he had? What if you were one of the sons of Noah or their wives? You know the ridicule? You know, we get it sometimes as men of God and women of God that love the Lord and want to do right, and their friends tell our children, what's the matter with you? Your parents, they don't want you to have any fun. You can't go here, you can't go there, you can't do that, and you get the ridicule. What about Noah's sons? They must have laughed at him and mocked him. Your old man's nuts. He's building a boat. Yeah. Says God's going to flood the world. He said, are you crazy? But you know what? He believed God. Even though it says about Noah that in his day he was perfect, he was upright. But he wasn't right with God because he was perfect and upright. He was perfect and upright because he was right with God, because he was a man of faith, because he believed God. What about Abraham? It tells us in chapter 15 in Genesis, God made him a promise. And it says he was justified or made right with God because he believed God. He took God at his word. Oh, we could talk a lot of things about Abraham. He did not stagger in unbelief at the promises of God. How could a man his age and his wife, how were they going to have a son? But he believed God. He believed that God was going to do it. And God said, I'm going to bless you and make you a father of a multitude. And he believed the Lord. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4 uses the whole example of Abraham, that we are justified by faith, that we're made right with God through faith. So Abraham was a man that he believed God. What about Job? I think I wrote down here what God said about Job. He said to Satan in verse 8 of chapter 1, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. What a testimony. There's none like him in all of the earth. Well, was he going to be saved and go to heaven because he was a good moral man? You know, he didn't have the law of God. Far as I know, the law wasn't written yet. He had the law of God written in his heart. He spoke about God speaking to him, the commandments of God, and he didn't go away from the commandments of God. But all that Job went through, we know that he was a man of faith. Because he said, though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust him no matter what. That's faith. Without faith, it tells us in the book of Hebrews 11:6, we cannot please God without faith. We must believe that he is. That he is who he says he is, and whatever he says is true, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. And we see these men, that's what they did. Even though Job had this moral uprightness, and there is a point in the scriptures as you read it, it seems he was a little bit self-righteous, but yet he said, in this whole concept, think about it. He didn't have the law of Moses. I don't know what he had other than what God had given him, but he said this, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the latter days he will stand upon the earth. And though he said this skin and this flesh would be eaten up by worms, yet in my flesh I shall see God, and I shall behold him with my eyes and not the eyes of another. He was upright and perfect in his day because he was a man that believed in God. And when we believe in God, that character is going to come out in us. And others are going to see it. They're going to see the Lord working in our lives. I wonder, could God say to the devil today, have you considered my servant, John? Wes, Reuben, W.T., Satan, have you considered them? Because remember, being perfect doesn't mean being sinless, but it means being mature, being complete in Christ. I pray that when people look at you and I, they could say, here's one that is mature. Yes, we fall way short, and Pastor has said that, and we do. We want to be up here and we're down here, but we're striving. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forward. I'm pressing forward. I'm going ahead. I'm not going to live in the past. I'm not going to live in the failures and the things that have happened, but I'm pressing on. I'm looking for the prize. I'm looking for the prize. I'm looking for that blessed appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm looking for him. And when we're living like that and thinking like that, it's going to cause us to want to walk right. When we sin, it ought to bother us. When there's something in our life that is not right, whether it be a thought or an action or an unkind word, we ought to be convicted and say, Lord, that's not right. Because I want to be a blessing. I want to be an encouragement. I want to make a difference. I want to stand for the Lord. What a beautiful way to start the Psalms. Bless it. It makes me think of Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes. They say, happy is the man, blessed is the man. Another place in the Psalms says, happy is the man whose God is the Lord. But this word blessed is, according to the experts like Spurgeon and others, it's a plural word. It means blessednesses, not just one, but many blessednesses that come upon the people of God. In Ephesians 3, or in 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. James says, every good and perfect gift coming from above, from the Father of light, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. The blessings come from God. It's not that we deserve them or that we've earned them. It's the nature of God to bless us. It says in chapter 2 in Ephesians, he's caused us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you know, we've talked about it, and I know pastors talked about it. There's positional salvation. We're in Christ. And then there's practical salvation. In Psalm 32, verse 1, it talks about positional salvation. We've been forgiven. God's imputed righteousness into us. We don't deserve it, but God took him who knew no sin and made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's our standing. We are in Christ. We are perfect in Christ. We are accepted in Christ. We are beloved in Christ. We belong to him. He bought us and purchased us with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is all true, but then there's the practical side. Work out your own salvation with trembling and fear. This is what you are. It tells us in Proverbs 22, it's how blessed it is to have a good name. To have a good name. We're called saints. God never says when he writes to the churches, oh, you bunch of sinners at Ephesus. Oh, you bunch of sinners at Corinth or what. He says, saints. Separated holy ones. God says, that's your name. You bear my name. You belong to me. You are a saint of God. You belong to me. I bought you with a price. You belong to me and I own you. And because of that position in Christ, then the practical salvation, oftentimes, haven't done many lately, but when I will do a wedding, and usually in addressing the man, I'll say, what kind of name? What kind of name are you giving to your wife and your children to come? Is it a name they can be proud of? Is it a name that a little boy could say, wow, that's my dad, and I'm so proud of him? And a wife could say, oh, he's such a good, godly man. What kind of name do we have? As the children of God, what kind of testimony do we have? Obviously, I'm not going to get far in this passage this morning, but blessednesses. How has God blessed us today? Oh, we sing that song, Count Your Many Blessings. If we were to sit down and begin to write, we'd be here probably most of the day writing the blessings of God. God has blessed us in the fact that he loved us. When we were yet sinners, God commended his love toward us. God demonstrated his great love that while we were still dead in trespass and sin, he sent his son that he might give us life, that he might quicken us, cause us to be born again. What a blessedness. I believe the greatest miracle yet, and I believe in the miracles of healing and all the rest, but the greatest miracle is one that is born again by the Spirit of God. What a miracle to be lost and dead and on your way to hell. And then God would reach down into the muck and the mire and the garbage can of this life, and he would call you out. You can't come to God unless he draws you. You can't come to God unless the Spirit of God convinces you of your sin and your need for Christ. It's all a work of God and a work of God's grace. We didn't get up one day and say, today I'm going to get saved. Today I'm going to get right with God. And the natural man doesn't think like that. But it's the drawing of God and the wooing of God as God is working in our lives and in circumstances and sending witnesses like he did to me. And he draws us. Oh, the blessedness of salvation. Oh, the blessedness of belonging to Christ, of knowing that I'm on my way to heaven. And you know what? Even when I mess up, he loves me. He's still my father. He'll never say, you're not my son anymore. Oh, I don't like what you're doing. I don't like what you're thinking. And I may have to spank you. But I only do it because I love you. You know, I don't understand all there is about being born again. I don't understand really how all of that works. I don't know how God wrought this work of grace in me, as the song says. I don't understand all that. But I do know God's word is true. I have a grandson who's totally turned away from God. And he's very angry and belligerent. And I can't tell you all of the conversation, but in part of the conversation, he said, Papa, you baptized me when I was 6 years old. He said, I didn't even know how to tie my shoes and you brainwashed me. And I said to him, When you were 6 years old, you showed a heart that wanted to follow God and believe in God. And I believe that was true. And I said, even though now today you tell me you're not a Christian, you have no interest in God, you hate the church, you think Christians are evil, bad people, because he's went totally left. I said, but I want to tell you what the Word of God says. I don't know what happened for sure when you were 6 years old, but if you truly trusted Christ as your Savior, you were born again, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I told him, you know what? You belong to God. God still loves you. And I know you're going through a lot in your life, but God's not going to let you alone. Because God makes a promise. And he says when he saves you, he gives you new life. The Spirit of God comes in. And I said, you're a child of God, whether you want to believe it or not or say it or not. I said, but that's my prayer for you. Oh, the blessedness. You know, there in Ephesians 1, where it says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings, it says that we have an inheritance that's undefiled, and it fades not away, but we are kept by the power of God unto the day of salvation. Isn't God amazing? What a blessing it is. You and I mess up. We could shake our fist at God and curse God. But it doesn't change God. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. His promises don't change. Oh, thank God for the blessedness of his grace and his mercy. We could come boldly before the throne of God. We could get that grace and mercy to help in times of need. Oh, when we fall flat on our face, we can get back up and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. We're never beyond the forgiveness of God. God will restore the years, as he said in the book of Joel, the years that the grasshoppers had eaten up. God says, I'll restore those years to Israel. We may mess up. I don't understand it, why God would love us and want to hang on to us, but he does. I thank God that we're in his hand. People say, you know what? One guy said, when you reach the end of your rope, just tie a knot and hang on. We're not hanging on to God. God is hanging on to us. And if God is hanging on to you, there's nothing the Bible says in Romans 8 that could separate us from the love of God. Persecution and distress and life and all that there is, nothing could separate us from the love of God, because we are so blessed with these blessednesses of salvation and of grace, and of mercy, and of God's tender compassions. The Bible says that they fail not. It talks about the loving kindnesses of God, that the loving kindnesses of God is better than life. We want to get the joy out of life. Our joy ought to be in the Lord. Blessed is the joy that he gives us. Blessed is the peace that he gives us in the midst of storms. He promises peace to those that call upon him. Being justified by grace, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you're at peace with God?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that God has declared you innocent and not guilty?
Yes.
Oh, the blessedness of that peace. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Don't get your strength from the other things. Get your joy from the strength of the Lord, that you're in his hand. I know I say every day, many times a day, Jesus, without you, I can do nothing. But with you, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I thank God for the blessedness of representing him. God has put a desire in all of our hearts to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he's done for us. The blessedness of being an ambassador. Can you imagine if President Trump called you and said, I want you to be an ambassador for America to whatever country or place it might be? What an honor. What a privilege that you would be called to be an ambassador. But as an ambassador, they represent the United States, our ideals and our thoughts and our way of life. As ambassadors, we're to represent the life that God has given to us and to share that with others, reconciling sinners, that the sinners would be reconciled to God. What a blessedness it is. And I admit, I'm like Brother Hiles said, he always talked about soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. And he told people that nitroglycerin tablet or whatever it is, I don't know exactly, but you use for your heart. He said, I'm going to tell you something. And he said, if you need it, put that tablet under your tongue right now. He says, I have never enjoyed soul winning. He said, I don't like to do it, but it is my duty. I have to do it. And I can't tell you the number of times I put the tracks in my pocket, and as some of you know, I go to the croc, and as I'm exercising and thanking God for the strength he gives me to do what I do, I say, Lord, is there somebody here today? Is there somebody here today you want me to talk to? Lord, I don't want to. I'm apprehensive. I don't want to be rejected. I know it's my duty. I know I should. God is so good. Yes. I've been allowed, I don't know if people are saved or not, but God has allowed me to lead a number of people into the sinner's prayer, even at the crack. And even when I was there just yesterday or the day before, one lady said, thank you. She said, you know what? I'm new in the area. I'm looking for a church. She's not here today, not yet. What a blessedness that I'm a child of God. We could go on and on at the blessings, the miracles of health, and the things that he's done for us. I didn't get far. I got one word. I hope I've somewhat set the stage for the rest of this psalm. I pray God would bless you today. And he will. And he does. And may you and I return that favor. May we bless the name of the Lord today. Father God, thank you for allowing me this time. It's a short time, but it goes by so quickly. Oh, the blessednesses that you bestow upon us. I thank you, Lord. Lord, may your blessing rest upon the rest of this day. Touch those that are sick. Heal those that need a healing. Encourage those that need to be encouraged. Strengthen us that feel weak. Help us, Lord, just to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.